today feels like some day besides Sunday to me, because we had Brother Harold McClinic's memorial celebration yesterday at 11 o'clock here in the church, and happy to say it was well attended. And so when I got up this morning, I thought it was Monday morning, because we did have an all-day service almost yesterday. It lasted for me till almost 2 o'clock, but we didn't say goodbye to Brother Harold. We just said good night to him. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Art, appreciate you being here this morning. You just always bless me, son, when you sing. So I think that most people who know you recognize the gift that God's put in your life, because not everybody can do that. But just think, if I could sing and play like Brother Art, what a preacher I would be, you know. Just I could sing these sermons instead of boring you with a lecture, you know. But I just have always appreciated his ministry of song. And that's what I think it is. It's a ministry of song. As I mentioned to you, it was Thursday morning when we learned that Brother McClinic had crossed over into another dimension, and so we were not able to announce it for a service. And when the family called me about it Thursday morning and asked about having a memorial service, I suggested this afternoon, but there were so many that were coming from out of town that needed to go back today. Brother Harold's family from St. Louis, his brothers and his sisters, he had there were six of them in their family, and there were three of them that was here yesterday, and his nieces and nephews were here, and they needed to go back today. So we went ahead and had the service yesterday morning. And of course, all of Harold and Lola's children were here, the five that are still alive. And then they had a multitude of friends. Brother Riley was here, that had known Brother McClinic since 1946. Brother McHughes was here, who's also had known Brother McClinic much longer than I had. I did not know they were here, or I would have insisted that they had something to say. But Brother Neil Johnson had been a great friend of Harold's, and had gone to see him many times since he's been ill this past year, and in and out of the hospice, and even lately after the operations and the broken hip in the rest home. And Neil had gone, and the family asked Neil if he would say something, and Brother Neil did, and I really appreciate his words. Sister Green sang. They had asked Brother Caleb to say something, and he did. And Caleb spoke from the perspective that he knew Brother McClinic, which, you know, was just the last few years. And, of course, then myself, I had known him for a number of years, and Brother McClinic had been involved with me when this church first started as one of our deacons. And I've always told him, even if you didn't come to church, he's still a deacon, because I don't believe that calling is, that office is a political office. I think it's one that a person's called to. And Caleb mentioned that when Brother Harold would come to service, the deacons of this church now would invite him to sit in the back with them and participate in it. It gave us an opportunity, excuse me, opportunity to say things about Brother Harold that I'd always appreciated. And the one thing that I know about Brother Harold, and those of you that knew him know, that every time we called on him to come forward and pray, he always read his Bible first, didn't he? Yes. And so we read the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians yesterday to begin it with. And my comments concerning Brother McClinic and our experiences, one of them was that he was with me the day that I found the word eagle written on the rock that Brother Branham had photographed and talked about on wings of a snow white dove. We had taken the picture that I made that day and blew it up, and we had it up here in a poster, and the staff in the office had done a great job of making up a poster of myself and Brother Harold and the pictures, and they're plainer and clearer than any that you can see now. And I think it's posted over here by the water fountain in the fellowship hall. I told her this morning to put one on the front bulletin board. Because Brother McClintock was with me when some of the events that to me have a meaning in this message or this church in our life. And one of them I told was, Brother McClintock was with me in Jeffersonville the day that they played one of the unreleased tapes, and it's on that tape that Brother Bram talks about. Moses stood on that rock and the pillar of fire appeared. And Brother Bram makes a statement, I stood on that same rock and the pillar of fire appeared. And there were people present with the two of us that day that they said, just think, Moses stood on that rock that Brother Branham stood over at Sunset Mountain. And it has created a doctrine and a belief that a lot of people come from overseas and all. And when I take them over there, they want me to show them the rock that Moses stood on. And, of course, the day that incident happened, Brother McClintock said, brothers, you know, you're like some of those in the Bible. You're ignorant of the Scriptures. And Brother McClintock knew his Bible well enough. He said, Paul says in Corinthians that rock was Christ. And he explained to them that wasn't the rock that Moses stood on, brother, we're talking about, not a physical rock. And of course, that day my comment to him was, is that, you know, they want to say that the rock floated over here in the time of Noah, the flood. And I said, well, rocks don't float. And that means Moses came to Sunset Mountain because Noah was before Moses. So that means Moses is over at Klondike. And to me, it was just somebody that, as Brother McClintock said, they were ignorant of the Scriptures. And I'm not calling them ignorant, but they were not aware that Brother Branham was quoting a Scripture when he said, and Moses stood on that rock, and that rock was Christ. And Brother Branham said, I stood on that same rock. Now, when I said that yesterday, I could feel there were some people that were critical of that, and even I talked to Janice about it on the way home, and I said, honey, you felt uneasy about me talking about that. And she said, yeah. She said, because a lot of the folks there didn't even know what you were talking about. And that is true. But you know, if as a minister, you stand up here and you say, well, now they don't know anything about that, I shouldn't mention it. You brothers that are preachers, what will we talk about? And it came to me that the first time I ever went to a message church was pastored by Brother John Martin in Beaumont, Texas, and Richard Blair was the speaker. And they all knew who I was because I was fixing to sponsor Brother Branham's meeting in Beaumont, Texas, and they were all excited about it. And Brother Branham had gotten after them one time because Brother Branham was going to a city, and the brothers Blair and the two Martin brothers and Brother Ruddle had gone to that city ahead of Brother Branham and had mentioned to the pastor about him being a prophet and things like that, and the pastor had canceled the meeting because he didn't want that. So the brothers told me this on themselves, that Brother Branham exhorted them later and said, now you boys are like a bunch of young horses, they never had a halter on. You ran in there ahead of me and you did something you shouldn't have done. So they were being very cautious with me the night I went there because they didn't want to be guilty of being a young colt without a halter on. But that night when Richard Blair got up to preach, he made a statement like this. He said, now that's that spirit of Cain. Well, I'd never heard anything about a spirit of Cain. But after service, I asked him, what did you mean by that statement? And you see, me being a predestinated seed, that's all it took, was just a little moisture, you might say, on that seed in my life. And it responded to it. And of course, now that's up to you whether I've matured and become a believer or not. But this is what I felt yesterday. I know there's people that don't understand when we talk about it. It's like Art singing that song. Well, there's a lot of people here today that maybe you don't know the message. You don't know what Brother Branham's preached. You don't know about his presence now. the parousia, you don't understand the revelation, you don't understand the Laodicean church age. But does that mean Art should not sing the song? Those of us that knew it did. But you know what? If you're here today and you haven't heard it before, there'll be something inside of you saying, that's something to do that. So yesterday after the memorial service, there were four different men came to me. Three of them were Harold's cousins, and another one was Bonnie Marriott's cousin, your dad's nephew that was here. You know who I'm talking about? And he came to me and he said, my uncle Marion gave me some tapes to listen to years ago, and they were the old 7-inch reels. And he noticed that we had CDs. And he wanted to know if he could have some of those. And he went home with a seed tape library. Amen. And a set of supernatural books. And a copy of the other books. And he said, you'll be hearing from me. Amen. You see, so I apologize if it offended somebody because I mentioned something that somebody didn't know about. But it all started because Harold McClintock knew his Bible. Yes. Amen. And I will say again, and I don't mean it to be offensive, but it's the truth. Brother Branham's authority to preach comes from the Bible. And this is the quote book. This Bible was Brother Branham's quote book. And there's some people that they don't believe in quoting it anymore. And whenever we look in here, we hear Brother Branham say something, we look in the Scriptures, it's not that we doubt what Brother Branham said, but if Brother Branham said it and it's got authority, it's in this Scripture. Brother Branham said he couldn't preach any other gospel than that which Paul preached. And so I want you folks to know that I think Harold McClintock, even yesterday's memorial service, was still a good witness of this message. I know what he gave up in his business in the Pira Valley to come here. And I talked about the joy, the reunion that he had, like with Brother Bob Ford and his daughter Marilyn. And other loved ones that he knew here and have gone on. And I failed to mention two things yesterday that I know that Harold truly loved. And I know that he loved his racehorse that had gone on. The horse had died years ago. And Harold a number of times talked to me about it. He said, you know what Brother Bram said? He said that horse would be there. And he did love that horse. How many believe things like that, you know, that they just happen and it becomes a living reality with us. So may the Lord comfort Lola's heart and that of the children, and may God deal with them. And there was one of the daughter-in-laws, Sue, that's one of the wardens out here at the federal prison, was so nice and friendly to us, and we really never had gotten acquainted with her. But I just trust it'll be something that will grow in their hearts. And Diane, his only daughter, was here yesterday with her husband, Mike Marconda. And I told him, I said, you two proved a fact today. The building won't fall in on you if you come to church. So they want us to pray for them. Diane has had a couple of strokes, and she's not in good health. But do pray for them. They both grew up in this church as children. And they need help from God right now in their life. Now, I've been talking to you for several weeks about angels. How many of you believe in angels? Amen. Now, last Sunday I read a quote from the tape, He That Is In You, where Brother Branham said, you know, there's sometimes when the Lord puts something on your heart and you wonder, how can I say this without hurting somebody's feelings? But I trust that you realize that what I'm saying about angels, we've not heard a lot about it, even though Brother Branham says it all. But neither do I have time to just persuade everybody what it is. But, you know, we could have been doing so many things contrary to the way God has done things in the past that we wonder, well, why hasn't something happened? And I just challenge you because last Sunday I read to you how many times it's prophesied that angels will accompany the Lord's return. Yeah. He will come with his holy angels. I will send my angels. How many times does the scripture teach us that? This morning, if I had the time, I'd like to take you to the Bible and show you that there's really nothing that started until the angels were involved. And I'm going to challenge you with this question. Is it possible that because we have not believed in angels, that's the reason we're still waiting? Brother Branham said, the reason you don't have angels is because you don't believe in them. Yeah. Now you may say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost, I don't need that. But that's not what the scripture says. Let's just look at three verses of scripture that you're familiar with. And I didn't give this to you, Jordan. It's Psalms 34 and 7. Somebody mentioned today about David and what he did. I believe he's a man after God's own heart. That's what the scripture says. But the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. How many of you believe that scripture? Now, does that mean just in David's day? Or does that apply to us as 21st century believers of a message? Could we go to Psalms 91 and 11? For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Have you ever heard that scripture before? Did you know that this is the scripture that Satan quoted to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation? Yes. That it's so true that when David said it back there, it was still applicable whenever Jesus, the Son of God, the inspirer of this word, was there in a matter of temptation, and the devil come and said, well, look, didn't you say that he give his angels charge over thee? And I'm going to ask you, do you think that David meant that, or that the Spirit of God meant that it just was for David or just for Jesus? Or does his angels still have charge over us? Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, whenever Satan used this verse of Scripture with Jesus on the mountain. For it is written, and I just read you the way it's written, Psalms 91. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Yes. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Does that still apply today? Yes. How many times have we heard testimony where somebody was almost in an accident, or something very serious happened, or something occurred, and the person would testify that there was an angel of God there that prevented an accident or rescued you or helped you? Now, you may stand and say, well, I don't know, I've never had it happen. But I want to say this. I believe that we have entertained angels unaware. And I'm going to encourage you. Now, I can't do this for everybody that followed Brother Brown's message unless they want to. But as your pastor, I'm going to ask you to diligently think at times when things occurred and you maybe didn't recognize it was a supernatural angel, but if you think about it, that's the only explanation you can give. But you never believed it or said it or testified to it because it's so strange. It's so odd. It's so different. I want to get us as a congregation of the place to where we know God's word is true. And we know that his angels protect us. And they encamp around about us. And we don't expect it because we're worthy, but we recognize they happen because we believe it happens. Amen. Now, quickly, just in review, let me say this, that I gave you the scriptures from the New Testament last week, where it says something like in Matthew, that they shall come forth. or he shall come with his angels, or he shall send his angels with a great sound, or he will bring the angels with him. He will send angels and they shall accomplish his will. These are prophecies. And I want you to recall the parables that Jesus told, the sermons he preached, where he talked about the sower. There was the evil one come and did this, but then the one that did the good was the angels. Yes. Now, was Jesus telling a fairy tale? Or should we, as people of God, recognize that God has angels?
Yes, amen.
Brother Robert, again, surrendered to the anointing of God. And Wednesday night, he continued that subject of conflict. Where the previous Wednesday night, the sermon he preached about was to show the inner conflict that we have in ourselves, the warfare we're in. That which we want to do, we can't do. That which we don't want to do, we find ourselves doing. And that's because it's the spiritual warring against the physical, which is enmity against God. Brother Branham told in Simplicity, white dog, black dog.
Yes.
Whichever one you feed the most.
Amen.
But Wednesday night, I wondered myself, what will Brother Robert do for an encore? How will he continue this? Because he took care of explaining very thoroughly under the anointing of the Holy Ghost about the inner conflict we have. But Wednesday night, he talked about the battle. Now, Brother Branham said the greatest battle ever fought was in the mind. But Brother Robert took it about the conflict that was in heaven from the beginning, from before the foundation of this world. And this morning he commented about it, about what Lucifer was and how Michael was there and him being the right-hand man. So he commented on his prayer this morning. If you'd heard the sermon, you'd understand what the brother was saying. But Brother Robert started with a conflict that was there and a conflict that came in the Garden of Eden and the conflict came down through all the ages. He brought it through the seals. And then he ends with the final of the conflict. So I labeled a sermon for him, the battle from the start to the finish. And what's going to be the finish? The Lord our God shall rule and reign. Out of this chaotic system and this God of this evil age, God will have a perfect bride. Victorious. And we'll be given crowns. But what will we do with them? Throw them at his feet. Because we know that he's the one that conquered death, hell, the grave, took away sins. And that Wednesday night sermon took it from beginning to end, start to finish, in less than an hour. Now that's a miracle. That means that the preacher knows his subject. He don't have to repeat and go back and forth. He can just tell you what it is. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I sat over and I wondered, how much time did Robert spend getting this together? For my benefit, that he could, in less than an hour, he could talk about the greatest battle ever fought. And tell me how it started, when it started, why it started, all the scrimmages that are going on in there, but at the end of it, the Lord our God,
amen,
is the conqueror.
Amen.
King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes.
And you know, it's good to know you're on the winning side.
Amen.
That regardless of what the world out there does, you're going to be on the winning side.
Yes.
So as I have continued this week to reread the quotes of Brother Branham, where there's 1,067 pages of them, I came upon another thought that makes a sermon all within itself. Brother Branham, I guess, planted this thought in my mind when he talked to me about my birthday. He said, "You was born the first day of July." He said, "Now that's 7 in your birthday. We know what that means." He didn't tell me. But he said, that one makes you good at starting things. So I'm always interested in what starts something. And when I got out the concordance again and started looking at the outline I'd made the scriptures, I challenge you to look at everything that God has done in your Bible. And he starts it out with an activity of an angel. You go to Abraham. It was an angel told him what to do. It was an angel stopped him from sacrificing Isaac. Go to Jacob. What did Jacob do? Nothing until an angel come and wrestle with him. What did Moses do until he met the burning bush? How did he get the children out of Egypt? An angel led them, pillar of fire and a cloud. Look at the prophet Elijah. What was it that started his ministry? It was a challenge when he killed the 450 prophets. And it was an angel of God that did it. Look at Joshua. What was it that led him into battle? Now, that's just briefly the Old Testament. You look at it. You take the activity of the angels out of those stories, and where are you? You come into the New Testament. Where'd Joseph get the dream? Where'd Mary get the name? Where'd Mary get the announcement? What about the father of John the Baptist? How did he know what Elizabeth is going to bear and what he's supposed to do? There was an angel involved. You remember, do I have to give you the details of this, or do you know enough about the scriptures to know I'm telling you the truth? The shepherds, an angel told them where to go. A wise man, the angels led them. Look at the sermons of Jesus. How many of the parables did you talk about the angels? I gave you the prophecies a few minutes ago. You take those where he talked about the angels gathering them and sending them and being with them and what they did and the angels ministering to him and Satan challenging him with it. You take those stories out and what do you have? Now I'm going to say this and I'll probably say it many times in the future weeks, but let me tell you this. Take the angel of God out of Brother Branham's life. You take the experience that he had, and before this series is over, I'll give you a list of those. But you take that angel visitation away from him at Green's Mill, at the cave, or the Boy Scout camp, or the cabin, however you want to place it. You take that out of Brother Branham's life and ministry. Maybe I start at the end of this when I played you where Brother Branham said, he's here. But he's the one who says, without him, I'm just as helpless as you are.
Amen.
Right. Now, I'm saying again, if Brother Branham was helpless without him, what about you and I? Excuse me, folks, but I need everything God has planned for us.
Amen.
And if these visitations of angels are of God, you and I need to begin to believe them. And recognize them. And I will tell you that I am just carnal enough that, folks, I was forced to do this because when I started having these things happen to me, I either had to get a biblical explanation or I was losing my mind. And I have not shared with you all the details yet, but I've told you people of many times when something supernatural occurred to me. And I know now that when I tell them, there's going to be people say, well, that's just Perry Green trying to say something. But the reason I'm telling you is because I believe they happened.
Amen.
And I believe they're real. And what I'm doing is I want you to begin to recognize them in your lives.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I appreciate so much those of you come to me and said, Brother Green, I've seen this. I've heard this. And I want you people to start writing them down, because I'm going to ask you to share them with the rest of us. Now, if I had the time this morning, which I don't, I'd take the book of Acts. And I'm going to ask you, between now and next Sunday, read the book of Acts and see how many times it's an angel that accomplishes something. You take even Peter's first sermon, when he got up to preach to them, three times he talks about Moses, an angel in a burning bush. I want you to know, folks, that wasn't just a bush that didn't burn. That was an angel. Like Brother Bram talks about the pillar of fire in the Houston photograph. That wasn't just a pillar of fire. That was an angel. Now, there is a difference between the angel that came to Brother Branham and the Lord Jesus. There's a difference in the angel that stood by Paul on board the ship and the one that appeared to him in the pillar of fire on the road to Damascus. Because there's not many people to stand and say, well, the Lord Jesus appeared to me. But I'm telling you this, angels are supposed to encamp round about you. Now you can say, well, the presence of the Lord, He's with me, I've got the Holy Ghost. You know, you do that, then you'll believe in angels. Because they are ministering spirits that God has ordained in our lives. My prayer for you this week has been like Elijah prayed for his servant. Lord, open our eyes that we can see.
Amen.
And when he got the right eyesight, he saw what? The flaming fire all around the mountaintops.
Yes.
Folks, I believe it's real. It's more real than the dimension that you and I are sitting in. Now, if you take the Gospels in the ministry of Jesus, you'll see the angel I'm talking about. If you take the book of Acts, you'll see the beginning of the church. And I'll remind you again, Brother Branham said, if there's another branch put forth, there will be another book of Acts written behind it.
Yes.
And how are you going to write another book of Acts if we exclude the angelic ministering spirits in our life? Now maybe when you hear somebody talking about they felt like an angel was helped them in the car, or there was an accident, or caught them or something, or prevented an accident, or an angel came and stood by, maybe just, well, they were just hallucinating and so forth. Shame on us. Well, I've never seen one. Maybe you've never seen the pillar of fire, but how many of you believe the pillar of fire? Maybe you've never seen an angel, but how many of you believe that they're scriptural?
Yes. Amen.
And I'm going to challenge you. Maybe I need to publish the quotes. There's 1,067 pages of them that I have. And Brother Bram said, you don't believe in them. You don't live a life that they can be around there. And you don't expect them to do anything. But you know what? Let one sinner come to repentance. And the angels here will change the atmosphere and get happy about it. And we'll all find ourselves sniffing a little bit. And when Brother Billy Paul told about him hitting the baby on the diaper and Brother Branham getting up and leaving the room because he said, Billy Paul, you made his angel mad. Well, you know, we'll respect the brothers a little bit more when you realize there's an angel with that guy. You wouldn't dare want to cross him. It is so basic and so simple and so important to us. I believe in angels. We talk about looking for the coming of the Lord. Look at the resurrection. Angels was involved with it. There was two of them sitting there the morning the women went. One of them saw them. They had names. Now, I've had people come to me and won't know about the theophany and their names and all this. You know what? I think, first of all, we just need to start believing that God's word's true.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it'll happen to all of us. Look what happened whenever the centurion on board the ship believed Paul when Paul said, "This night, an angel of God stood by me." And that man believed, and you know what? It saved his soldiers. It saved everybody on board that ship because he believed. And Brother Branham stood before us and said, "That angel of God, not standing 3 feet from me right now, I believed it."
Yes.
When Brother Branham would say, I'm waiting on him, play something soft. See, get an atmosphere. Start expecting it. And then Brother Branham said, "He's here."
Yes.
Maybe it was the way we felt, but there was something happened.
Amen.
That I say it was real. How many of you want to believe God?
Amen.
How many believe when David wrote and said, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them"?
Amen.
Lord, send your holy angels. Now, they don't heal, they don't save, you don't pray to them. They're sent to help you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
They're messengers sent from Almighty God. Now, in the book of Revelations, we've got messengers that are men. And there's no book in the Bible that talks more about angels, but there's not just the seven church age messengers. But there's mine angel, there's three angels, there's seven angels, there's ones with vials. There's one with blessings. There's one with cursing. There's ones that welcome us in. There's ones that gather us. I believe in angels.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the more I have preached about them and the more I've read about them, the more often it's happening in my life. When Brother Branham talked about the seven seals and he's sitting in that room, he'd go in there and this was there, and he said, and then a whole atmospheric change would take place. And he didn't say angel, he said angels. Just like there was a different one for each seal, each church age. Lord, help us.
Amen.
To look in the scriptures. Believe these things in case they be so. I need him. You realize how hard it is for me to stand up here and talk to you about this. And I want to tell you what I've learned. And first of all, I got to make sure you're going to believe it. Instead of just going off saying, "Well, that's just Perry Green trying to build himself up." Look, how did Brother Branham say it? "By a divine gift administered by an angel that I had nothing to do with." Let me tell you why I think these things begin to happen to me. Because I sincerely beg God, "God, help me to help your people. I don't understand these things. First of all, Lord, I hear this brother say this, and I hear this one say that." And isn't that what Brother Branham said that he was struggling with? And when he asked the angel of the Lord, "Why don't my brothers believe me?" What did the angel say to him? "Do you remember in the day of our Lord?" And Brother Branham said, "That's when I realized fully that he wasn't my Lord, because he had the same Lord I did."
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to believe that this is the Lord and Savior, the great mighty angel of the guest, but I just say that I believe that God has given to each and every one a help. While they get ready to baptize, let's sing, Janice. Brother Newton is going to baptize this couple today. I think somebody's going to take care of the children. Caleb, you come, because I'm going to sing a song or two, then you can worship and lead them in worship. Lord, I'm coming now to Thee. Lay Thy nail-scarred hand on me. Lord, I'm coming now to Thee. Lay Thy nail-scarred hand on me. Yes, Lord, I'm coming.